William Hill's Boxing Podcast with Steve Bunce on the line, ready for a cracking weekend in Cardiff. Of course, belts on the line, lots of pride on the line as well, and some reputations and maybe legacy on the line, Buncey, with Anthony Joshua fighting Joseph Parker. Should be a brilliant weekend. I know you're there. You've been soaking up the atmosphere. You're busy working for a number of various media outlets, so you'll read Buncey's words. You'll hear him on this podcast and on others, and no doubt you'll see him as well. Buncey, this is what it's all about, isn't it, these weekends? You've done a million of them, but this is every time you get one like this, it must be exciting for you.
Well, you know, you don't do a million like this, Lee. No. You know, these ones, you know, you can count these on a couple of hands in the 30-odd years I've been around, where you do a big world heavyweight title fight or a big outdoor fight. There's only been about 30 of them in the last, say, 40 years that I've been at. And you talk there about pride, reputations, and pride, reputation, and legacy. And you're absolutely right. Those three things are quite important down here. I think they're crucial. They're the crucial backdrop to what's going to be unfolding on Saturday night down here. A lot of pride, reputations of both, and legacy. There's too many people looking to stick fighters in the bin once they've lost one fight. It's really interesting. Over the last 10 days, I've got to sit down a couple of times with Joshua, and I've got to sit down a couple of times with Parker. That's just him and I in a room or in an area. So no one else around us, just a cameraman. And they both talked about losing, not because they think they can lose. They don't. They're confident, bordering on arrogant. But they know that they will lose at some point. They don't imagine they're invincible. They know they could lose. And they talk about sharing the strengths and the things you lose, and sort of things that happen in defeat, with the success as you go forward. And there's an awful lot of people in the modern boxing business, which is thriving, which just naturally assume it's a win-win-win-win-win business. Well, it's not a win-win-win-win business, so there's an awful lot at stake. And I think that these two boxers between them have been quite brilliant in the build-up to this, because you can't move down here. You won't be able to move down here. It's got a global audience. It's going to be seen in 215 territories, and they've not even eyed each other nastily, let alone said anything nasty. Applauds to the pair of them.
Yeah, a little plug for, of course, the place where I'm sat, the sponsors, William Hill, benefiting from that as well, because it's a sort of fight you just, you know, as a sponsor, you just absolutely adore being involved with. And when the build up's, you know, as it has been, Buncey, and there's no sour taste left in the mouth, and hopefully we get a good fight and a good outcome as well. Let's have a look at the undercard before we get stuck into the fight, Buncey. There's from a betting perspective, there are an awful lot of short price favourites here. I'm talking 1 to 100 Sean McGoldrick, 1 to 200 Joshua Buatsi, Josh Kelly 1 to 33, 1 to 100 Joe Cordina, 1 to 25 Anthony Crawler, Ryan Burnett's 1 to 20.
Title fight.
I mean, these are very short price. So let's discuss these, you know, maybe not so much from a betting point of view, but more from an interest point of view. Let's maybe start with Josh Kelly. 5-0 Josh Kelly coming up against Carlos Molina. You know, he's obviously fought nearly 40 times, but in the ring with some great names, including
held
the world title. So you know, this guy knows what he's doing. Obviously a Mexican fighting out of the US now, but you know, the likes of James Kirkland on his record, Kermit Cintron. He had a draw way back in 2005 with Cesar Chavez Jr., then lost in the rematch only over a 6-round distance. But you know, been in with some good fighters. So this is it's a great test for young Josh here in his sixth pro fight, isn't it?
I think it's, and I was talking to Adam Booth, who trains and looks after Josh, and I was talking to Josh yesterday at breakfast down here in Cardiff, and I said that, in my opinion, it's the hardest sixth fight of any British professional boxer's career. I can't think of another British boxer who in his sixth fight fought a guy as dangerous as Molina is, and as proven as Molina is. I think it's a brilliant piece of inspired matchmaking. They're not messing around with Josh. He had some of that World Series of Boxing experience, those 5 3-minute rounds. He had international tournaments, and he went to the Olympics, where he underperformed by his own admission. And then, you know, they're just not messing around. I mean, I think it's an idea of a smash and grab break. You know, this kid could all be done in 24 fights, assuming he gets to where he wants to go and makes his money. Hey, we've been talking about this, Lee. We've been flagging this up on this podcast for the last two or three years, how we're going to get guys who are going to get to positions 3 and 2 and 3 and 4 years and 10 and 15 fights quicker than they traditionally did. Look at Joshua, won the world title in his 16th fight. We, you know, we're going to mention Buatsi in a moment. Buatsi's not going to be around for 25 fights before he fights for a world title. I mean, it's just things are being speeded up. You know, we're at the top of that curve because we're giving our top fighters so much terrific amateur, so-called amateur experience, where they're going around the world and they're taking part in the 5 3-minute round world series of boxing format, that once they turn pro, they don't need 12 bodies in front of them where they can hit on the chin or clip around the belly and fall over. They're having fights. And it's a new style. It's a new business. It's a faster new business. I'm not quite sure I love it. I'm not quite sure I like it. But you know what? I'm enjoying it at the moment.
The beauty of these, I've listed all those short price favourites. The beauty of these, Buncey, is that even though Josh Kelly is 1-33, you know, you're not even going to put that in an acca and really, you know, make much out of it. If you can pick how he finishes it, it's 4-7 for a stoppage. It's 11-8 for him to win by decision. So a 4-7 shout in an acca, you can make a little bit of money off that. Is that how it finishes? You think? Can he stop Molina?
Yeah, he stops him. He gets to him about 6 or 7 rounds. Yeah, so see, I tell you, we could create a decent actor here today. We really could, yeah.
Let's try and do that. You mentioned Joshua Buatsi up against Bartolomeu Grafka, who's had over 50 fights. He's lost 28 of them, won 20. His record is 20-28-3, which is a curious record. Buatsi, obviously, on the, like you say, one of these young guns. Stoppage, is it simple as that?
Yeah, I think so. I think a few rounds, the guy's tough enough in theory to give Joshua a few rounds. Josh won't mess around. He wants to get him out of there. So again, a stoppage, I think, you know, certainly about 3 or 4. So we've got 2 stoppages straight away. I'm convinced of it. Can't see any other result.
Let's have a look at Ryan Burnett next. 18-0 Belfast fighter up against Yonfres Parejo, 21-2-1 his record. WBA Super World Bantamweight title, this one. Again, yeah, very short price here, 1-20. Give us this fight in a nutshell, Buncey.
I think that Burnett will get to him. The kid looks good. His feet are okay. His hands are better, the opponent. But I think that he'll suffer from Burnett's work rate and the fact that Burnett's a good little fighter, mate. So I think it'll be another stoppage. And I fancy it might be a little bit later.
Let's have a look at Anthony Crawler back in the ring. Obviously, had that good win against Ricky Burns after those 2 back-to-back losses against Jorge Linares, one of the most popular men in the world of boxing. 32-6-3 now, Crawler's record. Been around for an awful long time, hasn't he? I was looking back, Buncey, 2006 his debut. I can't believe it. It just shows that you know you're getting old, don't you? When you look back, you think, well, really, 2006?
What's going to happen is guys like Crawler that have 6 defeats and are still vying to fight for world titles, in 10 years time there won't be guys like Crawler. In 10 years time, the only guys with 40 fights on their record will be guys with 38 defeats. And I really mean that. We won't see guys like Crawler in the future, guys that win British and world titles when they've had 30 fights. They are not going to be around in the future. Crawler wins this. I'm not sure if he gets to him. I think he might just get to him late, but he wins it definitely. I mean, my gut feeling is he wins late or on points. But, I'm looking at it again. I just feel like all the fighters get motivated by the crowd. They all get caught up in Joshua fever. You have to remember that. Some of the best performances we've had from undercard fighters have been on giant bills. Really good performances. James DeGale had a shock win against an unbeaten Mexican or American in the sort of final eliminator for the world title, and the calf rots George Groves on the card. Stopped him in about 3 rounds. Arguably James DeGale's best performance. George Groves won a world title on the Kell Brook 40-odd thousand outdoor fight last year in Sheffield. It motivates these fighters. They go up a notch. They're entertaining. Even if there's 60,000 empty seats, there's still 20,000 people there. So I just fancy Crawler, and I fancy him. I might get a stoppage as well.
Yeah, against Edson Ramirez, a Mexican, another Mexican on the bill. Let's go to the big boys then, Buncey. I'm adding all these into this acca, by the way. I'm really looking forward to this fight, you know, even before the big one. Alexander Povetkin versus David Price. Obviously, Povetkin kind of shrouded in controversy, if you like, you know, around the kind of, you know, the drugs in sport, how it kind of differs for boxing than it is for most other sports. He's fighting David Price, who himself has been on the wrong end of opponents who have been found to have been found to have positive tests after fights. I mean, it's been a curious career for David Price, hasn't it? I mean, you know, up to beating Matt Skelton back in 2012, everyone thought this is before the times of, you know, before Joshua had won his gold medal at the 2012 Olympics. Everyone wondered if David Price was the next big thing. He came unstuck against Tony Thompson and then came unstuck again against him. He had that loss against Erkin Tepia. He's lost against Christian Hammer since then. I mean, he's huge, David Price, isn't he? But the question marks are clearly around his chin. And this is against a world level guy, Alexander Povetkin, 33-1 his record, 23 KOs in that. His one loss came against Vladimir Klitschko back in 2013. Went the distance with him. David Price says that he's just being lined up as an opponent, and that's probably all the motivation he needs. Is he in the same, anywhere near the same level as Povetkin, Buncey, who is an overwhelming favourite for this one at 1-14?
Well, Povetkin is without doubt the best heavyweight out there without a world championship belt. You know, I've been a fan of Povetkin even when he failed various drug tests, because I just think he's a terrific fighter. He just let himself down. Price, he knows he's here as this sort of sacrificial lamb, an expression he's not very happy with, but an expression that fits the bill, because I had a chat with him last night. I wrote a piece about him in The Independent. He wasn't particularly happy with the headline. He knows why he's here, but he obviously rejects it. And what it does, it makes him a dangerous man. He's a dangerous man, and he can jab and he can bang hard. And Povetkin, I have to say, this is not very good news to David Price fans. Povetkin looks in brilliant shape. He doesn't look like he's benefited from any illegal substances. He looks lean. He looks like he knows that this is a serious fight. He wins this, he gets probably number one WBA. And that means he gets sent very, very shortly, pushed into the marketplace for Joshua. Let's get that right. And then they end up getting step-aside money. This is a make-or-break fight, not a cliche, a fact for David Price. If David Price can jab and bring that right hand across, can he knock, can he hurt Povetkin? Yes, he can. It's unlikely, but he can do it. If he just get that bit of confidence and the ramrod jab going, he's got all the height, all the reach, and all the power. Bear in mind, he dropped Joshua in training, and Joshua admits to being dropped by David Price in training. And people that have sparred him, people that have taken him on the pads, and people that have boxed him all talk about one thing, how powerful that right hand is. He could upset Povetkin. I don't think he will. I think at some point, probably around 5 or 6, Povetkin will overwhelm him. But up until that point, he might have stung Povetkin. It's not a fight I'm looking forward to, it, but it's not a fight I'm looking forward to, if you understand me, Lee. I like David Price. I don't want to see him again.
I understand that.
It's a real risk. It's a massive, massive, massive risk. But I think you just have to fancy Povetkin.
I know you haven't got an awful lot of time, but I'm intrigued just from when you meet a boxer. Obviously, boxers, you know, can be quite forthright. And there's an article that you've written that they take an exception to, or a headline that you can blame on a sub-editor. What are those exchanges like? You must have had a few of them in your time.
It was fairly frosty. I got back last night from doing a 5 Live gig, and I stopped off for a couple of pints, and I walked back into the hotel about 10 to 12. And Price, he was in a lobby with a friend of his, and I went to walk over and I extended my hand, and it took him about a second, which seemed like a lifetime, to raise his hand and shake mine. And he said, "Buncey, wasn't very happy with that headline." And I said, "Dave, I don't write headlines." He said, "I know that." He said, "I read the rest of it," he said, "but I wasn't happy with the headline." So to appease him, I came up to my room and got him a copy of my book, you know, the history book, because he's got some nice things in there. So I went downstairs, signed that to him, and said, "Dave, I could never write anything bad about you." And he read that out, and I think he went off the bed slightly happier. Now, I'm not sure if he was waiting for me, but he was certainly in the lobby when I got back last night. So that's what it is. It can be, yeah.
I bet there have been a few of those where maybe it hasn't ended in quite such a nice...
There are fighters that still eye me because of something I wrote in 1992. And I'm telling you the truth. And there were, you know, even fighters that I would classify as friends or half friends still occasionally remind me of something I wrote about them in 1995 or 1998. I'm telling you, it's staggering.
Yeah, I can imagine. The big one then, Buncey, Anthony Joshua versus Joseph Parker. The reason that 80,000 people will be in Cardiff at the stadium this weekend. Joseph Parker holds the WBO World Heavyweight title, 24-0. His record, 18 KOs in there. He resides in Vegas, but he's a proud Samoa cum Kiwian. His record isn't littered with, you know, world stars. You could argue that maybe he struggled a little bit against Huey Fury when, you know, you wonder what Joshua would have done to Huey Fury, as awkward as he is. They've got Carlos Takam on the record, both of them, so you've got a little bit of collateral form there. He went the distance with Takam, and, you know, it was a good fight. He won on all three scorecards, but they were relatively close. We know about Joshua, 20-0. 20 stoppages. We've watched him learn his trade and still learning his trade, Buncey. The Klitschko fight obviously is the standout fight in his record, but you felt like against Takam he had to learn something else, and we've heard all about what he's learned about himself, about his training regimes, and it's fascinating. It must be fascinating for you as well, Buncey, from as a boxing kind of aficionado and historian, watching this career take shape so openly this time. We almost hear everything that he thinks, don't we? We don't, but it feels like we hear almost everything he thinks. He's so open and so eloquent. He tells us about his training regimes. He tells us about the almost like the demons in his mind post-fight, and he tells us what it was like to stand on that plinth and look at Klitschko in the ring. We hear a lot about the experience you seldom get from sportsmen. Sportsmen can seldom articulate what it's like to be in that moment.
No, he's a very forthright and honest fighter. We might see less of that in the future. There's been one or two things he said down here, how he's maybe regretted, sort of in private, how he's regretted being as open and so open in the past. So that might all start to dwindle away, and he might start to sound a little bit more like a super high profile multi-millionaire superstar athlete than he is. And that, you know, that won't be a problem. We would have still had 4 or 5 years of him. Fantastic. He's grown, you know, very fast. I mean, I mean, 2 years ago, if you'd have asked me where he was and where he would be, I would have said, you know, give it 18 months and he'll step up. Give it 2 years and 6 or 7 fights and he'll fight for a world title, probably in late 2018 or early 2019, and his 25th fight. But he was gifted, and I mean that in the nicest way, a world title fight for the IBF belt when it was stripped from Tyson Fury and a man called Charles Martin, one of the worst heavyweight champions in history, became the champion. And Eddie Hearn did a brilliant piece of business and paid Charles Martin a lot of money to come to London and get knocked out. He didn't try, he fell over. Looked like he trained in Burger King. So Anthony became the world champion in his 16th fight. And that was 4 or 5 fights earlier than expected, and that was 2 years earlier than expected. So he had to learn on the job. 2 easy defenses, and then he became a man. He became a champion. He became a real fighter in that Klitschko war last April, 11 months ago. And he learned some more stuff when he fought the Frenchman, Carlos Takam, down here in front of 78,000 people. And now he'll learn some more stuff against Joseph Parker. But I need to tell you something about Anthony Joshua. For all of his arrogance or confidence or whatever you want to call it, he knows he is not unbeatable. He doesn't think he's this Superman that will never and can never lose. He knows. And somewhere in his mind, I sort of half get the feeling from talking to him that if he lost, it would just be a loss. You know, then the next, he'd have a rematch and he'd maybe win that, then he'd carry on. Which is a really healthy attitude to have. When you're A, unbeaten, and B, on this enormous pedestal, and also on 1,000 billboards up and down the country peddling different things. So I like Joshua's attitude. I like everything about Joshua. I'm trying to find anything I don't like about him. And people find fault, oh, he's a bit heavy on his front foot, rubbish, he's a bit this on. No, get lost. He's what he is. He's a 20-bout heavyweight, one of the best 20-bout heavyweights in history. He bangs like Fury. You know, he's an incredible puncher. And we know he's got great heart and stamina, and there's nothing wrong with his chin. What's not to like?
No. Yeah. What about the thinking about this fight, Buncey, and so if I've learnt one thing from you over these years, it's never trust a boxer when he tells you what he's going to do in a fight. Joseph Parker has been keen to tell us that he's going to come head on and look for. There's no way he's doing that, is there? There's absolutely no way that Joseph Parker is going to go into a war with Joshua. Nah. The one thing anyone knows is that Joshua can hit and hit hard. He's knocked everyone out. This is going to be a cagey fight, isn't it, Buncey? Jabs at the ready.
I think there'll be really cagey moments. I don't think it will last, the caginess. I don't think the two of them sparring for openings will last, but it will certainly be, there'll be an awful lot of rounds like that. Parker's not a fool. Parker's got good people around him. Parker's got a good boxing brain, and Parker looks incredibly slim, as does Joshua. I think they'll both be very light, and I think they're both prepared for a longer fight or a longish fight with a lot of mobility, a lot of thinking, a lot of prancing. It's not going to be a slugfest. Listen, it could be a slugfest. You know, one of them gets clipped in the first 30 seconds, the other one reacts, and then he gets clipped, of course. But I see a little bit of brain here. I see a little bit of brain being used, which makes it still enticing. You're in front of 78,000 people, and you've got these two unbeaten heavyweights up in the middle of the ring. How can you not look forward to that, even if it's a chess match?
What about in terms of... any heavyweight's got the power, but Joseph Parker, when you look at him, and when you look at him in some of the training, the open training, for those of us who haven't watched him live, who watch YouTube videos, he doesn't look in the same weight division as Joshua. He doesn't look as big as Joshua. Is Joshua just too big for him in the end, Buncey? Is Joseph Parker? I'm not saying he's a glorified cruiserweight or anything like that, but
can't do that.
No, but he doesn't quite look as imposing as he needs to be against Joshua.
Well, it's really interesting because, you know, I've been fishing around and how I think it might go and what might happen, and this could happen and that could happen. And I always come back to one thing, and it's just that Joshua has this power, and he has this strength and bulk, and I just think that in the end will be the factor. That'll be more impressive than Joshua's double jab. Sorry, Parker's double jabs and Parker's right hand. And I think in the end it will just come down to just pure size and strength, because they're both got great heart, guts, chins. They can both bang and box. And I just think that it would, in the end, it would be Joshua's power and Joshua's strength that wins it for us.
Whereabouts in the fight then, Buncey? You think he's going to stop him? Maybe 21 out of 21.
Yeah, I had until the last couple of days thinking it might go very, very long, but I've just got a feeling now it might not go that long. I'm thinking about 6 or 7 now. I'd change from 11 or possibly points. I've been talking about points for a couple of months, but. No, I'm just fancying Josh in about 6 or 7.
Yeah, so...
Real struggle until then.
If you want to take the actual individual rounds, it's 10-1 in round 6, 10-1 in round 7. There are loads of different markets on this fight, with William Hill sponsoring it. They've gone to town on the website here or on the app. If you want to take rounds 4, 5 or 6, it's 12-5. 7, 8 or 9 is 3-1. There's loads of different grouped round betting opportunities as well. If you want to take the first half of the fight for Joshua, 11-10, not a bad bet at all. 13-8 for the second half of the fight. Or you can have rounds... 7 or 8 or 5 or 6. So have a look at the website. You can make up your own mind on that. We've also got the exact method of victory, so it differs slightly from the usual KO, TKO or disqualification. You actually pick which one it is, and of course there's your odds where you can pick your own bet, like Parker to be knocked down in rounds 2, 3, 4 or 5 and Joshua to win by stoppage. Which could well, so he gets knocked down and then Joshua goes on to stop him, which wouldn't be a huge surprise. He's around the 4-6 mark. So check all those out. You won't find a better price in any of those rounds than here at William Hill. And I'm not supposed to tell him this, Buncey, but on Saturday evening, if you fancy a Joshua knockout, then there will be a special price enhanced for about an hour or as long as the bets last. It's kind of once it's gone, it's gone. But that will be available on the app or on the website. So make sure you've got them close to you, and it'll be around for, I reckon, an hour, and it'll be a special boosted price on Joshua to win by stoppage, which you think will happen, Buncey?
I do indeed. I think he'll get to him. I think it'll be brutal. I think it'll be harsh. I think it'll be rough and tough from the start. And I just fancy Josh will get to him earlier than I'd previously expected.
Yeah, so Joshua to win by stoppage, full stop, is 3-10, 100-30 on. So just for the purposes of this acca that I've been putting together, I'll stick that in there.
Yep.
And that full, the full accumulator comes to 8-1. It's not the biggest price, but that's Josh Kelly by stoppage, Ryan Burnett by stoppage, Crawler by stoppage, Povetkin by stoppage, and Joshua by stoppage. 8-1, a knockout night, Buncey. And if you stick a fiver on that, you'll pay for your pay per view. And if you don't want to pay for your pay-per-view, listen to it on Five Live.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.